Good morning and welcome to church. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Caloundra Salvation Army as we stream another week. Such good news that we will soon be able to meet together on the 12th of July. But just now, I want to bring you into that worship space as we read from Psalm 128 from the Message Translation. And it is about the blessings of the Lord. And Karen's going to speak to us later on about the blessings of the Lord. Some selected verses about the blessings of the Lord from Psalm 128. All you who fear God, how blessed you are. How happily you walk in his smooth, straight road. Enjoy the blessing. Revel in the goodness. Stand in awe of God's yes. Oh, how he blesses the one who fears God. Father God, as we come into this time where we will worship you, we want to understand what it means for you to bless us and for us to bless others. Lord, you're a good God, and we love you and we worship you, and we look forward to understanding and experiencing your goodness and your blessing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come Savior, rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we may. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now, as we are your church and we need your power. All right, let's go. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down
Hello, everyone. I am going to be updating you guys with the announcements this week. So House of Prayer is on this afternoon between 4 and 5 p.m. So you're all welcome to come up. So if you do have a prayer request, feel free to send it through to Jan or email it through to us, Tim and Karen, or message us on our Facebook page. Now, community dinner is still happening between 5 and 6 p.m. each Tuesday. So you're more than welcome to come up if you haven't been. Feel free to come along and say hello and check it out, and it would be great to see you. Just Men is afterwards from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So if you would like to have some fellowship with some other men, then you're more than welcome to come up as well. And how exciting, save the date, Sunday, July the 12th at 10 a.m., we are having our first outdoor chapel meeting. So that will be so good to see you all, and I can't wait to catch up with you all. And some more exciting news, our Kids Zone and Junior Soldiers is starting next Sunday. So come on up between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. next Sunday, the 21st of June, and it will be great to see you guys, and I can't wait. And now here's Brittany for Kids Time.
And now we're moving into a time of prayer. The leaders of the Salvation Army in Australia have asked all Salvationists to pray it forward, to have 21 days of intentional prayer and prophetic listening. How is God calling us to serve as a Salvation Army? And so the prayer focus this week is on the idea around so much more. God has so much more for us, and we need to move into that and ask Him and listen to what He has to say for us. So will you join me as I pray now? Father, we pray that we would be obedient to You, to Your Holy Spirit, Father God. Lord, help us to move into the new things that You want us to do as the Salvation Army that You've raised us up to be. Lord, we pray for the fruit of the Spirit, the experience of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in every interaction with every person. Lord, let there be love, joy, and peace. Let that be evident in everything we say and everything we do. Father, we pray that there's a unity of purpose throughout the Salvation Army. We pray against division, and we pray against anything that would divert us from who You raised us up to be. Lord, help us to trust You deeply and hold on to the confident belief that You are for us and You are with us. Jesus, we pray a prayer over the Salvation Army, a prayer of blessing. And we pray that You would bless every single person who attends and those who would lead us. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would give everyone who attends a fresh passion to reach people for You, dear Jesus. And we pray this in and through Your name. Amen.
Today's reading comes from Genesis 18, verses 1 to 15, and Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7, reading from the NIV. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried to the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favour in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "let his three seraphs of finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf so they have been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening to the entrance to the tent, which was behind them. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is something too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 years old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." May God add his blessing to this word.
Good morning. Good morning to you, and good morning to you from my friend here. I don't know if you know who that is. Yes. Sneezy. Now, I don't know how you'd feel if I started sneezing now uncontrollably, sneezing all over you. You'd probably be glad to be on the other side of the screen today. What happens in your house when someone sneezes? What do you say to them? Do you have a response? Or in your workplace? Is it something different you say when you're out in the shopping center and someone sneezes? I'm sure that many of you would say, "Bless you." Now, the origins of this response of saying "bless you" are not so clear, but the main theory that I've read is the phrase "God bless you" emerged during the bubonic plague when Pope Gregory encouraged people to say "God bless you." So if someone sneezed, they'd say "God bless you," and it was hoped that that prayer over them would stop them from being ill. Now, the sound of a sneeze is universal around the world, but there are some funny words that people use to describe the sound of the sneeze, and here's a few that I like. Achoo, hapchoo, at you, achi, and my favourite, I think, hapchi. And we say, "God bless you." But interestingly, there's other things said other than "God bless you." "God bless you" is the most common response. But this response, "Gesundheit," is the most common response for English speakers who don't want to say "God bless you." And the word "Gesundheit" simply means health. Good health to you. Here's some interesting ones though. Now, in Spanish, there are different responses for a different sneeze. So the first sneeze, after the first sneeze, and I'm not going to say these in Spanish, I'm just going to tell you the English. First sneeze, and they say, "Health, good health to you." Second sneeze, "Money." Third sneeze, "Love." So it's good to sneeze in threes if you're in a Spanish-speaking country. And the French, they take a slightly different approach. When someone sneezes, they say, to your wishes, or good luck, best wishes to you. And finally, for now, in Turkey, this was interesting. If you sneeze once, you may hear the person respond to you by saying, oh, hang on, sorry, I've got the wrong one. In Dutch, this is the one in Dutch, if you sneeze three times, they will say, ah, it's good weather tomorrow. So I don't know about that. If you're Dutch and you think that's legitimate, you can let me know. Here we are, Turkish. If you sneeze once, they say live long. You sneeze twice and they say live healthy. Your response as the sneezer, this is all from a website that tells me if you're speaking in other languages and you're traveling, here's what you can say. So in Turkey, if you sneeze and someone says to you, live long, your response to them, and I haven't got the actual language, I've got the English response, says, yes, and I hope you'll be there to see it. So there's all kinds of weird things that people say when you sneeze. If you've got something that's a bit different, maybe you'd like to share it in the comments below this message today. So sneezing aside, I wonder why it is that we say, God bless you. What is the purpose of that? Why do we speak a blessing to others? And does God want us to use our words to bless others? Does he want us to pray blessings upon others? So having a look through the Bible, the first time we read about a blessing is in the very first book of the Bible and in the very first chapter. Genesis 1, verse 22. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. And later in that chapter, verses 27 to 28, we read about humans. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all of the animals that scurry along the ground. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to work my way through the Bible, looking at reference after reference about blessing, but I'm going to focus particularly on our passage today from Genesis, the blessing that God gives to Abraham and to Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, and then the fulfillment of that blessing in Genesis chapter 21. But to step back just a little way, to give some background, Abraham was previously called Abram, and Sarah was called Sarai. Now, God calls Abram, and he gives him some particular directions, some promises, and a blessing. God speaks this blessing upon Abram and his family. The Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household, to the land that I'm going to show you. And then from verse 2, he says this, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. But Abram and Sarai continue through the desert. They continue on their detour via Egypt and via Sodom, and Abram meets there his nephew Lot. And it's in Genesis 17, so we're skipping from 12 to 17, that God then reaffirms his covenant with Abram. But at that time, he changes his name to Abraham. As part of this covenant, he reminds Abraham, I will bless her, speaking of Sarah, his wife, and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. We read in the next verses that Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So I'm going to skip forward now to the reading from today that Gary's read for us. Those readings, Genesis 18, 1 to 15, and Genesis 21, 1 to 7. Abraham saw these visitors coming, the Lord maybe, angels, and when he meets them, he says, I have found favor in your eyes. My Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest here under this tree. Sounds quite idyllic, doesn't it? Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you've come to your servant. Very well, they answer. Do as you say. Now, Abraham in this interaction shows great respect. He shows the utmost respect to his visitors. He hurries to get a meal ready for them, only the best, and he serves it. And rather than sitting down at the table with them, he waits to the side like a waiter waiting upon his special guests. Now, he knows that something very special is happening here, and he treats them with care. He blesses them, and we can see that he's expectant of some kind of payback, something more happening, perhaps a blessing in return. The phrase, "Do not pass me by," sticks in my mind there. Abraham is so keen to have his guests stay. He says, "Please show me favour, bless me." It's not the first time that Abraham has had such an encounter. And in the previous chapter, as I said, not only did he receive this word from God, but he had a promise, the promise of this long-awaited son. The blessing that they remind him of is this previous blessing that he's had. Last time, Abraham laughed. And this time, in the tent nearby, Sarah laughs. She hears this preposterous suggestion. A baby at my age? Now, if we move forward a few chapters from chapter 18, in 21 we read here that the Lord was gracious to Sarah. God did bless Abraham and Sarah with their son Isaac. And verse 3 from 21 in the Message translation says, "Whoever would have suggested to Abraham that Sarah would one day nurse a baby? Yet here I am. I've given the old man a son. God has blessed me with laughter, and all who get the news will laugh with me." What a blessing, a baby, a promise, a fulfillment of God's plan, and the start of things that were much bigger that would come in the future. We read of the generations that follow, of Isaac and his sons, of Jacob and his sons, blessings given over and over to the generation following, and the next generation, and the next generation. So is this something that God had designed and had planned for us to speak a blessing, to pray over our children and the next generations? In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, 22 to 27, the Israelites had left Egypt and they were out in the desert. God had spoken to Moses and given him instructions on how to live, how the Israelites should choose to live. And these instructions, talking about the priests, about his brother Aaron, he says, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is the way that you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.'" So God instructs the priests to speak a blessing over the Israelites. He even tells them how they're to do it and gives them the words that they're to say. Now, whether it was deserved or undeserved, whether it was wanted or rejected, God's blessing continued to be on his people and continued to be declared over people throughout the generations. So let's look now at Jesus. His example to us, Jesus taught, he healed, he raised the dead. Through his actions, he blessed others. He placed his hands on the heads of the little children that were brought to him and he blessed them. He took the loaves and the fish given to him, a gift to help feed the crowd. He blessed the food and he fed the 5,000. He took the bread, he blessed it as he broke it with his disciples. He taught us in the well-known Sermon on the Mountain, "Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, the persecuted." And in chapter 16, verses 27 to 28, Jesus gives us this instruction: "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." Jesus wants us to bless others, and not just our families, our children, and those that we love, but even those who would curse us in return to give them a blessing. Most significantly, looking at Jesus. The resurrected Jesus is here ascending to heaven. And as he's doing that, he is giving his people, his disciples, a blessing. So the last thing he'd do here physically on the earth, we read, raising his hands, he blessed them. And while blessing them, he took his leave, being carried up to heaven. He blessed his people with a promise that he would also send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. God's desire for us is that we would be a blessing to others. We sing the song, Make Me a Blessing. God also wants us to be an active participant in that, to bless others, to speak words of blessing over others, to pray for others that God would bless them. So what do we ask for when we ask for a blessing for someone? Is it unique for each person, or is there a set list of words that we should say? How do we bless someone? Now, if, as I suggested earlier, you were to go through the Bible and look up the word blessing throughout it, you would find many examples of blessings that have been spoken over people. There'd be plenty of words there that you could use. But the Holy Spirit knows, and we really need to rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit to give us inspiration, to give us the words to pray. When we don't know what we need to pray, the Holy Spirit inspires us and gives us those words. I've been reading a book called The Grace Outpouring by Roy Godwin and Dave Roberts, and it's set in Wales in a remote area. When guests arrived there unexpectedly at this Christian conference centre, Roy would say to people, "We like to speak a blessing over all of our guests here before they leave. Can I speak a blessing over you?" And it became a tradition, kind of standard way that they had of interacting with people. The stories of the miraculous way that God met with people and blessed them are just that, miraculous. It's a great read. And among other things that Godwin suggests, we can use this acrostic based on the word bless, and it will help us speak a blessing over people. Here's what he suggests. We can pray bless over people's body, over their health, their protection. We can pray a blessing over their labour, their work security, a blessing over their income, a blessing over emotions, that Jesus, that God, the Holy Spirit would give people joy, peace and hope. A blessing over social aspects of their lives and spiritual. That's one idea, just one idea. And following along on that theme of bless, the theme of five, we can think of the word bless to remember ways to pray for others. Here's a suggestion. Pray for five blessings for five people. 5 minutes a day for 5 days a week for 5 weeks. Are you up for a challenge for 5 weeks? Well, a challenge like this begins with just the first day and that first prayer for the first person. It's now 4 weeks away from the day that we can gather here together out in the chapel, have a Sunday morning meeting again. So why not pray for our church here? Why not pray for every person that sets foot on this land? Pray for the people in our church family that we haven't seen for a while, and for those who we're yet to meet that God will send here. We want to ask God, what is it that you want of us? Do you want me to speak a blessing over my neighbour as I walk past in the morning? Do you want me to bless my children? Do you want me to pray a blessing specifically over my grandchildren? Consider where you stand today in relation to God's blessing. As someone who wants to be blessed by God, or maybe someone springs to your mind that God is prompting you to bless, to speak a blessing over. Not everyone is going to be like Abraham. His response, bless me now, please, please bless me. Don't pass by me without giving your blessing. Or perhaps you're a bit more ambivalent. Bless me, well, if you want to or not, whatever, it's up to you. Recently, we've been talking to people on Tuesday night at dinner about prayer. Would you like me to pray with you? Would you like me to write a prayer for you? Some people are keen, some people are not, so sometimes it's just a new thing and people aren't sure. But it's important to be respectful. The next thing, yeah, you want to bless me? Well, bless me if you can. I dare you. You reckon you can bless me? You reckon God can bless me? Well, I would say God works in mysterious ways. Let God break through even the hardest of hearts and let his blessing be poured out. That's my prayer for us here, for this place, for wherever you are watching today, for each of you, that God's blessing would be poured out over us. In March this year, just a few short months ago, though it seems like it was ages ago, a group of friends decided to get together in the US, and they started praising God, singing together, just out of their hearts, making music. And they came up with a song that many of you would be familiar with, this song, The Blessing. And that song has gone viral, as they say, as people sang it, shared it, they collaborated together on their own versions of The Blessing, and they allowed it to become a real anthem to be sung over our people, over our nations, and over the world. Various live performances, covers of the song were released to YouTube and Instagram from the UK, Hong Kong, Hawaii, Malaysia. On the 31st of May, 750 singers from 177 churches in Singapore performed a cover in English, Mandarin, Bahasa, Tamil, and in sign language. And not just this song, but other blessings have been sung, one here by over 500 voices at Easter. The singer and the songwriter involved in this, Carrie Job, wrote about this song and she said this. In a season of such fear, unknowns, loss and disappointment, I am so thankful that we can sing scripture and feel a shift in the atmosphere of our hearts and over our lives. This is the blessing from God over us. I pray for massive breakthrough and for peace over you and your family and your children and their children. He is for you. What better way for us to finish today than to play for you a blessing, this priestly blessing, the blessing given to Aaron, taken from that passage in Numbers. This version of the blessing was put together by Australians. It's our own version. It's our own rendition. It has our own Aussie touch to it. And I want to bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
And keep you, make his face shine. mercy of God,
the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit,
be and abide in you forever.
Amen.
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 May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family, and your children, and their children. Their children,
His blood ring, you need home time, come and be way high, make the suit tie, be a jacket, be a holy, come away like, she's a die night,
of a diable, unga mele, aile tare mure, amen didu,
unga kurumba, unga pillega, avaga pillega, avaga pillega.
Destined her to be. In Jesus' name.